The world's most exciting podcast, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, New York Times best-selling author and National Radio Hall of Fame inductee, Michael Savage.
I'm Michael Savage, host of the Savage Nation podcast, home of borders, language, and culture. Hear my new podcast each week as I speak with top guests from around the world. Right now, we have over 700 shows in our library, featuring interviews with world leaders, scientists, faith teachers, and more, including President Donald Trump, Prime Minister of Israel Ehud Barak, Edward Teller, the father of the hydrogen bomb, Jerry Falwell, and so much more. Conversations and commentary you cannot find anywhere else. Other guests have included Samuel Cohen, the father of the neutron bomb, Breitbart's Alex Marlow, the great author Peter Schweitzer, Colonel Douglas McGregor. Be here or be nowhere. The Savage Nation Podcast. Catch the Michael Savage Podcast on all podcast platforms every Tuesday and every Friday.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today is a special episode. We have Jennifer Sutton on the line. She is the CEO and founder of Bright & Co. Marketers and Orange Whip, and also host of Hello Chaos Podcast. And also, wait a minute, upcoming author in one of our upcoming books as well, which I'm so thrilled to announce and welcome Jennifer into our Mission Matters community. Jennifer, just first off, your intro is getting longer and longer every time we do this, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Adam. I'm so excited to be here. I appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, well, I love having a fellow podcaster and marketer on the show, because let's just say I'm not going to make you do all the work, but you're seasoned. Yeah. Well, we'll start this episode, Jennifer, the way that we start them all, with our Mission Matters Minute. So, Jennifer, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Jennifer, What mission matters to you?
Well, at Brightco, our mission is to be the most innovative and dedicated and productive marketing communications firm, providing growth companies with a level of thinking and integrated solutions that surpasses their highest expectations, where our motto is, we work hard so our clients don't have to.
Yeah, it's great. And love bringing mission-based entrepreneurs and professionals on the line to share their mission, really what gets them fired up in the morning to get out of bed and to go out there into the marketplace and world to make a difference. So just to get us a little bit further into your story, how did you get started in the being an entrepreneur, really, and kind of going the marketing route? How'd that all start for you?
Well, after years of working at different ad agencies and marketing firms, I've worked on big established global brands. I've worked with smaller and startup brands, but really helping companies of all sizes and types across various industries, really developing kind of brand strategies and marketing solutions and campaigns. But I kind of got tired of that traditional advertising agency model back in 2013, and I ventured out and started Brightco as a full-service marketing and ad agency that was founded with the idea that we can help companies of all shapes and sizes in a better way.
Yeah. And I love that you have this experience of, you know, working for the large companies and then going out and starting your own. Because I feel like a lot of, you know, entrepreneurs, even would-be entrepreneurs out there, which, not saying there's anything wrong with corporate America, but just in general, some people have that feeling. They're in their position when they're in the corporate gig, and they're like, maybe I want to go out, maybe I want to do something else, or they want to hang their own shingle, or for whatever reason. Right. And, you know, some people kind of sit on the sidelines maybe a little bit too long, or maybe they just don't ever get over that edge and just kind of like go out there and do it. What do you think maybe some of the difference maker was for you that actually brought you to like, you know, I'm going to go do this?
Yeah, well, it was, I got frustrated with the business model of that traditional ad agency kind of workup. And companies and brands are only successful if they address an unmet need, right? Yeah. They're solving a problem. And for us, it was that need for adopting a scalable service model with access to high caliber, vetted, and experienced team So, you know, I spent 25 years on the agency side, really, you know, with big brands, watching how things work, what doesn't work, and those proven methods and systems for building better brands. And that's really what the model is. It's kind of, how do you take a group of really high caliber, experienced people combined with those disciplines for better integrated marketing communications plans and really better digital footprints? That was the problem we were solving.
Yeah. So I want to stick in the early days just a moment or two longer here, because, you know, after you make that leap, I'll tell you on my end, like when I went out to be an entrepreneur, I didn't even know I was going to be an entrepreneur. Like I was scared. It was scary for me.
It was scary for me too. No, I was.
How was it for you? That's what I'm getting at. How was your experience?
It was, and I'll tell you a little bit of, I never thought, like, I wasn't ever one of those people that said, oh, I'm going to own my own company one day. That was not me.
Me neither.
So, you know, I was an accidental entrepreneur of, I got frustrated with the traditional model. I ended up just leaving the agency I was working with, because I was working 90 hours a week. I have four children. My youngest was two at the time. And when I, you know, asked the company, like, what is this for? You know, what is this for? Like, where's my path? Why am I working this hard? And they really didn't have a career path for me. So that's kind of why I said, well, you know what? I'm going to give myself some time to figure out what I want to do. Do I want to go work for corporate America? That was one option. And so I started looking and interviewing with corporate America. And then I started looking and interviewing with other agencies, some bigger, some smaller, and listening to some of the stories of founders of these, you know, smaller boutique, mid-size, you know, agencies. One, they didn't have near the experience I had from branding and strategy and the data analytics side, or working with the caliber of brands I had worked on. And I was like, oh my gosh, if you're successful, why can't I be successful? And during kind of that moment, I left the company to kind of say, you know what, I'm just going to figure out what I'm going to do. I'm going to take some time to figure out what my path is. I ended up working fractionally for a couple of agencies and a couple of brands, but my phone was ringing off the hook from all these people I had worked with in agencies, from creative directors, research people, experiential folks, art directors, copywriters, media buyers, digital developers. And these folks were either, you know, in one or two kind of shops. They were in these little silos and had built their own little client bases, but it was their clients were challenging them to go, you're a great art director, but I need somebody that can help me with X, Y, and Z. Or you're a great media buyer, but I need somebody to, you know, who's going to develop my campaigns. And no one really had the infrastructure developed to go, how do we bring all these people together? And so that's what Brightco was founded on, of recruiting this high caliber talent, but at the same time, bringing these proven discipline methods for building brands, developing IMC, having integrated solutions that generates better results. So it makes everybody on the team perform where their strengths are and where their passions are.
Yeah.
So that's where I said, we can do something a little bit different. And it was in that business model.
So, and you used the word fractional. So, you know, maybe some people listening to this aren't, I want to stick on that a little longer. Yeah. So the idea of a fractional CMO or a fractional service, and, you know, part of what we're talking about today really is how you outsourcing different types of marketing. Can you kind of explain that concept a little bit?
Yeah. So marketing, and it's, you know this, Adam, but marketing has become extraordinarily complex.
Yeah.
Right. People either don't understand what marketing from the full spectrum is. They surely don't understand what brand is and brand strategy. Media has become so explosively complex. You know, there's 1,000 tactics to choose from, 1,000 tools and technologies, right, that are out there. So, You know, and many companies have fractionalized a lot of their marketing efforts. So they might have a marketing manager that has hired a web company, a PR company, a social media company, you know, a digital company, but everything is in these silos. And so they're being challenged by their CEO to go, where's the money being spent? Sometimes it's in in-house teams where all that overhead, or it's so it's fractionalized where the results aren't happening. And that's where a model like us, that we come in, because we're one, solutions agnostic, and we're media conversant, meaning we aren't selling a templatized solution. And we're not a, you know, if you go to a digital firm, what are they going to sell you on? Digital. If you go to an SEO firm, they're going to sell you only on SEO. You go to a social media firm, are they just organic creation of content, or are they also helping you look at holistically, how do you build your communities through a combination of the organic and the paid? And then are you sacrificing that time, money, and resources for another solution that could be generating other results for you? So we come at it from a holistic solutions perspective. And that's where we find that most businesses that we work with provide, you know, prefer that full service kind of fractional support, because it's the best way to achieve the results for that company. Because, you know, we're a fractional CMO, right? So we come in as that big picture thinker, the sense maker, the illuminator around what is going to drive your brand. And then we can tactically execute along those different activities, but not in a silo. They're integrated, which is, again, that's the change maker, right? Is to make sure those things are being looked at and being measured from a more strategic perspective. Go ahead.
And what I see is really this complexity that you're talking about in marketing and advertising and media. This complexity is something that I think it's pretty much antiquated, the old thought process of when once you have enough budget, then maybe you hire someone, you know, in-house to do your social media. And like, they're going to be the kind of jack of all trades. They're going to do, we have just enough to hire one person. So they're going to do the social media. They're going to do the email marketing. They're going to run our ads. They're going to do all these things, like,
and that, it, like, none of it's performed.
That's not possible anymore.
No, like, it's not. So, you know, you bring that up. So let's just talk about outsourcing for a moment, or let's talk about what are your choices as a, you know, as a founder, whatever size of your enterprise is, right? Whether you're startup or you're scale up, or you have 5,000 employees, right? What's the bigger picture of your staffing philosophy? So every employee, on average, works 1880 hours annually. So if you hire somebody full-time, that's how many hours they need to be performing their defined tasks. That's based on them working 40 hours a week, minus 10 national holidays, 4 weeks of vacation, 2 weeks of sick time, right? That's where we get that 1880. Finding great marketing people in these different and complex disciplines is very difficult. Like you said, there is not a jack of all trades. There's not. Look, if I would have staffed my entire company with those people.
Absolutely.
We have become, you know, for a large part, we're all specialists. I mean, even when I look at and interview people for social media, we've got great social media content creators, but they might not be great community builders. Yeah. We've got great community builders, but they're not good content, you know, creators, or in digital media, people are either great at SEO, but they have no idea how to do CRM and drip marketing and email marketing. Those are all specialists. So, you know, when you think of finding all that talent, it becomes really complex, coupled with the overhead expenses of, you know, not only do you have to fill that 1800 hours of defined task, but then you have to pay for the tools, the technology, and all the equipment for those roles. So if you're a manager, or if you're going, how do I staff this? You also then have to go, what's that career path? What's going to be their performance? Who's going to manage this person? Who's going to evaluate what they're doing? Is it the right thing that they're doing? Mm-hmm. You know, where's the strat? Because I think that's where we gain from our clients is we focus everything. There's a strategic point of view. There's a brand point of view. And that's where, you know, I call it the magic happens. But, you know, as an owner or a manager, you're going, how in the world am I going to manage these one or two people, you know, 1,800, 3,000 hours on tasks that I'm not even familiar with to be able to provide that guidance and that evaluation to make sure that they're successful. And so I'm getting every dollar value out of that person. You know, you know the rule of thumb, Adam, on being an entrepreneur and a founder, for every dollar you spend, they need to come back in cousins, right?
Yeah.
So you have a $60,000 or a $80,000 salary. You multiply that by two to take care of their overhead, their benefits, all the other, you know, expense of their vacation time and their sick time and all that. So now it's $120,000. Mm-hmm. Well, are they going to generate $300,000 in revenue to your bottom line? Mm-hmm. And a lot of owners and CEOs or managers don't really think of it that way, but they should, because marketing should not be an overhead expense. It should be a revenue generator. And so our model is we take all that headache away. You know, we manage towards activities. We manage towards the results. What is the return on ad spend? What is the return on investment? Or what's the return on equity? So we alleviate all that pressure to fill those 1,800 hours, no oversight and task management, nobody to work around vacation times. It's really just take that pain away. It's less risk and it's less overhead cost to that company. So for the price of one to two FTEs, you get a team of specialists that understand brand building, brand storytelling, a fractional CMO looking at things from a strategic point of view, and oversight at a tactical level. So that is kind of our one, as we call it, the one-stop shop for branding, marketing, public relations, advertising, but in an integrated way. So that's
our model. So let's just say that all of the hurdles that you just mentioned, that let's just say somebody's watching this and they're like, oh, well, we have that. We can do this. We can do that. Mm-hmm. That being said, what I've found is even, you know, when somebody does kind of go at building it that route, unless it's their business, I've found that over time it gets stale. Because what happens is somebody, you know, if you're that department or those individuals that you're building up are only focused on your business, then guess what they know? Your business. When I think about the fractional side of things, there's this whole other layer of benefit for the fact that that particular agency is not just working with your business. So it's their job to stay up to date on what's going on in marketing in general, not just for you, but for their other clients as well. So when you think about the learning that takes place cross industry, cross sector, cross size of businesses, as you see a business going from one level to another level in terms of size or growth or other things, and kind of being able to foresee what those challenges will be, unless you're working with an experienced marketer, even your internal staff won't know, assuming you have
them. That's right. I mean, you know, when you, a lot of folks don't realize marketing is both art and science when you break it down, right? My background is in that research design, understanding buyers' attitudes and perceptions, media consumption behaviors, the data to properly plan and buy media. That also is the science side of those proven disciplines and process for building brands and brand strategy. You know, that's the science side of marketing, right? That usually sets the foundation for great creative. And I've worked with some of the best creative minds out there. And from that, I really understand. And our team, you know, not just me, but our team that we've built, we understand, appreciate, we respect the art side of what it really takes to create a great brand identity, to tell a great story, to know how to direct the visuals in a way that's going to get noticed, and turning those into great campaigns and you know, full brand programs. Because a lot of folks think, I mean, you look at today's, you know, TikTok and YouTube, you see this of, I'm just here to engage, right?
Yeah.
I've got 100,000 views on that viral video. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, but you didn't, nobody knows who you are.
Yeah.
You haven't developed a brand. Companies are commodities, right? Mm-hmm. That's what a company is. But a brand is a value.
Mm.
And that's creates, you know, that's a difference maker of, you know, and so a lot of people are under this impression of that's what social media is you just got to throw stuff out there. You got to just throw content out there. But brand storytelling is different. Content generation and content marketing is a piece of brand storytelling, but it's not enduring. It doesn't lift. It doesn't build the equity. It doesn't build the value. And that's kind of, that's, I think, is the difference maker and where I think it's getting lost in this sea of, I think, sometimes sameness. And it's a challenge. And I think that's, to your point, a lot of companies that have said, I'm going to bring these people in-house, they either have the limited experience, or if they are experienced at a higher level, maybe they don't have the tactical knowledge to execute. So, you know, we like to say that we're the brand strategist, we're that dot connector, we're the integrator, but ultimately we're the true catalyst and the change maker within that company to help them scale and grow, because that's where real magic happens. It's when the science of marketing is seamlessly combined with the art. Yeah. And I don't think a lot of people recognize that's the power of great brands. That's, I mean, Apple is great for a reason. They've invested a lot of money to make sure that they've got the foundation of the data and the processes and those disciplined systems to make sure that their brand is consistent and their story is being told effectively across every single touch point, both externally and internally.
Yeah. And so what I'd be interested to hear this from your standpoint, because you know, a lot of experience in marketing in general. When it comes to trends and different things that are going on in your space, I know this is a broad question, but it's intentionally broad. Like, what interests you right now? Like, what excites you about marketing in general, whether it's advertising, MarTech, social media? Like what gets you excited?
So a couple of trends that are happening. All these AI tools, right?
Yeah.
I mean, a new one pops up every day.
For sure. Every day.
My team laughs at me because I go down at least every other night. I come back in. I'm like, I've gone down an AI rabbit hole. I have found six other tools that I want to check out. But it becomes overwhelming of, you know, even just doing my own homework of, does this help scale my team? Does this take, you know, does this help bring my cost down so I can get better margins on our service delivery? But it gets, you know, you have to do an evaluation in your own matrix and criteria. That takes time. We've been doing that over the last 6 months, but it's exciting to see a lot of these tools. And we've shifted some of our processes, not necessarily that it's benefited our client. It's been more of, it streamlined us in our, in our collaboration efforts, that we have adopted several of these tools. And again, they're coming out every day. And also trying to champion but you can't lose the ability to have a human eye. Like we have tested some of the AI tools of the design AI, some of the copywriting AI. They don't replace a great copywriter. They do not replace a great art director and graphics professional. Because they are looking at, how do I templatize something, and it's you're back into the sea of sameness, and they're, you know, graphically they look great, but they fall flat from a big idea and telling a brand story. Mm-hmm. So even though it might shortcut some ideation, it might shortcut some, you know, there's ways to use that tool from a creative team, but it definitely doesn't replace great creatives and that great, you know, the art side of it. It just might help us amplify or streamline some of our processes. So, you know, that's a big trend. It's being discussed a lot in the ad agency, you know, model of does ChatGPT replace a creative team? No, it absolutely does not. So if brands and companies are out there going, oh, well, I can just have this tool, I don't need an agency. And it just, I'm going to tell you right now, it does not. You have to have an experienced human eyeball editing, enhancing, elevating that.
Yeah.
The other trend is interesting, you know, because I'm like, you know, 30 years on the media side, watching the trends around linear TV and streaming and the AVODs and how is that all going to play out? And you know, the is an advertising revenue model dead because everyone's going to the subscription path? And what's the power of membership and subscription? And what, you know, I'm seeing is, no, actually, a lot of these subscribers, like Netflix and stuff, they're going to add, they're all going to look like broadcasters here in the next, like, you know, within 5 years, we will, and they're all going to buy each other out. We're going to be back into, you know, the five big broadcast networks, or I would say four, with CW's trying to come in as, you know, a stronger broadcast, being a real broadcaster. And then I think we're going to end up being, you know, two or three streaming models, because we as humans, we can't adopt the nine streamings and the and then all the cable networks. I mean, so the streamers are going to act more like broadcaster mixed with cable, and it's going to have a big fallout because it's not sustainable. So that, you know, and you look at the, you know, who's watching linear TV, it is, you know, it's the baby boom generation who has the most disposable income. They're still watching linear TV. And so, you know, the magic TV demo of 18 to 49, I think will become obsolete in linear TV. It's going to be more of a 35 to 65 is going to be the magic demo. That's not been really talked about. That's just, you know, Jennifer Sutton's personal opinion, just watching the data. So if I'm NBC or CW, that's where my programming is going to appeal to. And then anything that goes on my streaming apps is going to be, you know, geared to those younger audiences that want content, you know, a content churn. But that's kind of fascinating to see the TV landscape kind of changing. And it's going to be, like I said, we're going to see a huge evolution in the next 12 to 24 months. And then I think social media, we will always see that evolve along with that. I mean, look at, you know, 3 years ago, it was all about just, you know, push out content. Now it's become more, well, content, you know, it's about just getting attention. And I think that's where I think it's going to evolve, that people go, oh, well, brands do matter. You mean I got these 100,000 followers, but if I ask anybody, are you doing business with me, or do they even know who I am, both as an individual or a company, the answer is going to be no, and you've become a commodity. So I think we'll start seeing even the social kind of change up a little bit to be more brand focused.
It is exciting, like what's taking place. I love being in this kind of renaissance of marketing, in my opinion, with all the things that you're mentioning. I want to shift focus here a bit, just slightly. So Orange Whip, how'd you come up with that idea?
Oh my goodness. So that's a great, great question. So brands, again, are only successful if they address an unmet need. And for us, it was, you know, why we created Orange Whip was, we wanted a media company that delivers information and access between founders and organizations and the resources that accelerate their business growth. That's where, you know, as a founder and entrepreneur, I felt isolated. I don't know about you, Adam, as a, you know, when I started the company in 2013, I didn't know about resources that were there for me. And you heard about, you know, SBDC, or, you know, there's a, you know, a women's business center, but one, it's like, what do I need to bring in there? Oh, I'm kind of intimidated. I don't know where to go. And it took me until 2018 to really get involved in an accelerator program and really kind of build a community and really get a sense of the power of a community where I didn't feel alone. Finally, I found people that are like-minded, that I can have really private, vulnerable conversations around, you know, my struggles, the barriers with whatever. And then, you know, that was on a local level. And I kept, you know, I felt like, God, that everyone feels like me, you know, yeah. I'm not alone. We're all facing those barriers. But then I started working in these larger national accelerator programs. Mm-hmm. And I was hearing the same sentiment. People in, you know, a bunch of entrepreneurs in the Oakland area or San Diego or Seattle or Indianapolis and Columbus, Ohio and Austin, Texas and Dallas, Raleigh, Durham, Atlanta. I mean, the same issues of I see my city talk about entrepreneurism, but it's the same 4 or 5 or maybe 10 people that all don't look like me. So maybe I'm not an entrepreneur. Maybe I'm not an innovator. Maybe I'm not welcome at these events and these community building involvements, or, you know, just not being knowledgeable about the resources that can help you, whether it's startup scale, create an enterprise, or prepare yourself for an exit. And when I started kind of voicing that to organizations like the Economic Development Organizations, or maybe that, you know, I talked to different municipalities, chambers, of, is this really a problem? Like, I'm not aware of all these resources.
Yeah.
I'm hearing that from other founders. Why are you guys not collectively coming together and creating kind of a content hub? And they're like, we can't. We're, you know, we all have our own agenda and our own mission. Just focused on founders and entrepreneurs doesn't really fit our mission. You know, even like think of it from business media,
you know,
a business journal has to serve the broader business community. They might only run an entrepreneur or founder story or like tips and tricks or, you know, a few times a year and really kind of go deep dive. And they're surely not going to create a resource directory or curate, you know, an events calendar and find all the deadlines of grants or accelerator and incubator deadlines. They're not going to create this hub, you know? So as I started kind of going, this is a problem. They're like, yeah, we need a solution, but it needs to be focused on the local level. So that's why we created Orange Whip, which is multimedia company. We're independent. So we're not associated with one of these organizations. So there's no competitiveness. We're independent, multimedia, and we bring what I call real world nitty gritty content. It's unvarnished viewpoints that support the growth of local founders, startups, and scale ups. It's a part navigator, part guide. We're storytelling. We're telling actually more diverse stories, whether it's race, gender, or industries, because that's what we find when we go into markets. If there's another media, you know, if there's like an innovation media outlet, they're doing more breaking news of, hey, these are the people that just got money. And they're leaving out innovators across way different industries and spectrums. They're only kind of highlighting who got VC money. So that was our mission. It's, you know, it's how to, we're exclusively serving founders and entrepreneurs so that we help at the local level to help them scale and grow. And a part of that is, you know, part of our multimedia platform. It is, like I said, it's an innovative digital magazine that has, you know, articles and stories, but it also has a resource directory that we've curated. So in each market, right now we're in 3 markets, Greenville, South Carolina, Columbia, South Carolina, and Charleston, South Carolina. There are anywhere from like 70 to 80 resources that we have put in our resource directory. And then we have curated across 15 to 20 different calendars in each market.
Wow. So
that we curate every month and, you know, update that real time. We send out a weekly newsletter that's like, here are the deadlines of here are events you need to be a participate. But hey, there's, you know, these are grant deadlines or these are incubator deadlines to sign up. So trying to make it as a one-stop kind of one-stop shop, that content hub that we're also pushing out that content through social and through email on a weekly basis so that they don't have to go and chase down and go, oh, I wasn't aware of that from the chamber. Oh, they don't have to go and source all these different calendars. So that's what we do.
So Jennifer, I cannot let you off this show without you talking about Hello Chaos. Yes. So how did the idea come about? Like I want all my audience to go check it out, by the way. Everybody listening to this, like definitely go check out Hello Chaos podcast. But how did it come about and what's the vision?
So the vision is it's really, again, it goes back to that bigger mission of Orange Whip of how do we serve founders and entrepreneurs? How do we inform them? How do we inspire them? How do we motivate them? And as you know, in this day and age, it's in multimedia. So we wanted to have a way that we could talk to other founders in a more intimate conversation. And we call it we're exploring the messiness and the chaotic minds of founders and entrepreneurs and really having what I find are very vulnerable conversations. Mm-hmm. Our executive editor, who's a co-host of ours on the show, she came from the business reporting side, and she's like, nobody's going to want to have that conversation. She's like, they're going to be guarded. And that's what you hear on a lot of other podcasts, like, CEO mindset, blah, 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 blah. And ours aren't, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's because it's founder to founder conversations. Mm-hmm. We're curious of like, we call it, our tagline is where aha meets oh, so, and it's kind of finding out what are those aha moments in your journey? What were those crap moments in your journey? Sometimes it's where the oh crap is where aha is born, and really kind of uncovering those secret sauces versus just hearing, well, I had a process and I did it. We're actually going deep down and going, tell me what that process was, because you might think that's something that's novel, like a novelty, but it could make somebody else have an aha moment. Because we feel like we're alone. And sometimes we feel like even just the smallest thing won't make a difference in somebody else's journey. And what we found is it does. And so how are we amplifying, those viewpoints, kind of like your mission, but it's in a way of how are we sharing that information so we help people accelerate on their journey. But we're weekly. We're on all podcast platforms. So, our favorites are Spotify and Apple, but you can also look at it. If you go to Orange Whip for WIP.com, we also have both the audio and the video that is hosted all of our episodes. We're recording our 43rd tomorrow.
Wow. Amazing.
So we're excited. I don't know about you, but everyone was kind of warning us of, do you really want to get into podcasts?
Yes, you do.
And it was, you gotta stay with it. You gotta stay consistent. And what we found is a lot of the entrepreneurs and founders who are consuming our media, whether it's the online magazine or Hello Chaos. And I'll talk about the name in just a second but they're like, oh, finally a local fast company, right? Yeah. Or a local version of Wired, but just digital with the ability to have that audio and video connection of storytelling. But yeah, Hello Chaos was funny. Then when we polled several thousand entrepreneurs of across the country of if we could create something locally for them, what would they want? They mentioned, podcast came up, but they wanted an uncluttered format. They wanted storytelling. They wanted real, agenda-less information. They wanted a content hub. But, we also asked, like, what are words, if you described entrepreneurism and being a founder, what words come to mind? Chaos came up a lot. But what we found was it's not, chaos as far as like, it was, come on, welcome. We got to organize this chaos. We got to welcome it. It's so, you know, Hello Chaos was born out of that sentiment.
Well, it's congratulations, first off, on getting over 40 episodes. And I mean, that in itself is an accomplishment. And for everybody watching this, I always tell them, it's good to hear from somebody else, but I'm like, start your podcast, write your book, get your story, get your message out there, because we need you. We need you out there. We need content creators. There's not enough people out there, in my opinion, doing interviews and getting messages from founders and others out there. Like Jennifer can only do so many interviews. I can only do so many interviews. Right. Like all the individuals out there that are out here trying to help others get their message out there. Like, it's about paying it forward. It's about building a community. Right. There's so much more into podcasting and writing a book and getting your story out there than just, you know, how many downloads or how many listens or like you're creating content, you're providing a service, and really you're uplifting the entire entrepreneurial community. So again, over 40 episodes in, big shout out. And I'll give my two cents on why your show's great and why it's so real is I think that yourself and your co-host, like you both are so authentic in the message that you're delivering. Like, you don't hold any punches. I watched a couple episodes and you who you're interviewing is not only sharing maybe some of the things that went, you know, when not as planned during their entrepreneur career, but you also, you match them. You're like, me too. Like
a few episodes. Yeah. But you're right. It's community building.
It draws people out in your show. Like, and that's what draws out, I think, great content from your guests as well. And that's where I think it's just an enjoyable experience to listen to. And we'll put all the links to all of that into the show notes so that our audience can follow up and listen. But speaking of that, if somebody is watching this, Jennifer, and they do want to follow up, they want, whether it's about Orange Whip, it's about Brightco or Hello Chaos. I mean, just in general, how do people follow your story, your brand story, and how do they really connect?
Yeah. So for Brightco, you can go to our website, and that's brightcomarketing.com. Excuse me, brightcomarketers.com. I'm going to get kicked by producers like, Jennifer, you should know the URL. And then Orange Whip and Hello Chaos is under one, you know, umbrella, and that is Orange Whip, WIP, because that stands for work in progress, .com. So you can, if you want to be a guest, go to the Hello Chaos page and send us a note. If you want to follow me, I'm LinkedIn and Twitter are kind of my two, you know, go-tos, but I'm JJ Media Maven on Twitter. I've had my Twitter handle for a long time and I think it's from 2007. So you know, it's kind of corny, but yeah, my nickname is JJ. And then LinkedIn, it's Jennifer Johns Sutton is my handle. So connect with me there. Love to share information. And like I said, I'm a tweeter, so you can, you know, follow me and we'll have some good times. But orangewhip.com or brightcomarketers.com is the best way.
Perfect. And we'll put all that information in the show notes so that our audience can check it out. And Jennifer, first off, it's been great having you on the show today. We intentionally didn't go too far into the book today. This is just a little bit of a teaser for the audience. We just want everybody to know how great you are and the work you're doing, because we will be bringing you back on the show, of course, when the book is live and out and published. Because why? Well, number one, we want to do a deep dive into your writing. But number two, hey, we're publishers too. Like, we want to sell some books too. So my audience already knows I'm not shy. We're okay with selling books. So that being said, speaking to the audience, by the way, so if this is your first time with Mission Matters or engaging in an episode or our content in general, we're all about bringing on business owners, entrepreneurs, executives, and experts and having them share their mission, the reason behind their mission, really what gets them motivated about making a difference in not just the business world and marketplace, but also in the world. And if that's the type of content that sounds interesting or fun or exciting to you, we welcome you. Hit that subscribe button, because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Jennifer, really, it has been a pleasure. Looking forward to the next time we get to work with each other.
Same here, Adam. I had a lot of fun. Thank you.